Welcome to your doom.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
Összul, Gabir úr. Jelentsérék a csárdában vannak.
Kicsodák?
Jelentsérék.
És ti hová mentek? Átak a kurva anyát!
Welcome, fellow Beastians, to a very special Gaming Beast. Yes, this is the 50th episode of the Gaming Beast. The 50th episode. Can you imagine that shit? I mean, when I started this podcast, I would have not imagined in my wildest dreams that we would have 50 freaking podcasts. I mean, this is crazy, okay? When was the first podcast here? I'm just checking here right now. On the Gaming Beast, of course, that is not on my show notes, even it should have been. Totally do. Doobity-doobity-doo. Okay. Well, by the way, guys, it has been now... We're going to do this a little bit of a combo of celebrations, okay? In February, that's when I officially said my website started, okay? And my first video that was released was the Gaming Beast video review show, as I called it back then, where I reviewed what's his name? Blade Warrior. And that was still, I released it on Blip. And, yeah, of course, that link is not working anymore if you go back, because it is, because my Blip account, of course, was erased with many others who were inactive on Blip, because I wasn't really active on Blip, and, yeah, but whatever. The Gaming Beast, I started this, my website, and my, basically... doing stuff on the air. Usually it started out with me doing... Oh, here we go. When I had the first... the first podcast was... it was just called First Podcast. Okay, this was so basic still. There was... As fucking... what's his name? A good friend of the show, Alex Swingle, the Sixth Health of Fury. Would point out there was no title cards whatsoever. It was just First Podcast, okay? The first post also was on February the 6th, 2011. This has been more than 3 years now, because we're here on May the 2nd, okay? So that means I didn't make a big deal of it, you know, 1 year, 2 year, whatever. But here we are already, like, more than 3 years on the air, with videos and podcasts. I mean myself, obviously. And but I always talk about we, because I also talk about my friends and what we do and who we are. We'd always be, you know, that kind of stuff. And when I look at my stuff now, it's kind of it's interesting, you know. It's still so basic. I was learning the ropes. I was still in college, having a great time, blast, you know. And yeah, and 2011, man. I mean, that's like, I think that was my last. That was still my last semester of school, and that's kind of 2010, 2011. Was it the last semester? I believe so. Something like that. Either way, this is the first post that I posted on my website, okay? This is something that you gotta listen to, okay? Because I don't think a lot of people have read this, other than the people I hang out with, okay? Welcome to the lair of the Gaming Beast, okay? And that's something... I wanted to do this lair thing. I didn't have it figured out really, but I wanted to have it like a lair, kind of similar to Jerry Terrifying's concept of a terror dome, which I still need to draw, my concept entry, which I've been lazy and whatever, but here. This is it. This is the gloomy home of the gaming beast. Ooh, full of nerdy, quirky, and metal stuff. Check out my videos and podcast. I love how miswritten podcast. Podcast about video games, role-playing games, fantasy, metal, and more. Check here for news on Gaming Beast video reviews, podcasts, role-playing sessions, and other news on everything nerdy and metal. Man, I said metal a lot. But whatever, it was the humble start of what has become the Gaming Beast. Am I like the biggest thing on the internet? No, not even close. I'm not even a blip really, if at all. But I am something, in a sense where I exist. And there is a handful of people that enjoy my stuff, And more people watch my Gaming Beast, my YouTube videos. And that is great, and I'm really happy for that. And what is it? Fireworks? I guess 2nd of May, but I was expecting that for the 1st of May. But anyway, the point is, excuse me for this little thing, but this little loss of thing. But you're used to that, guys. This is your one and only gaming beast. That's what I do. Then the second post was actually the first podcast. Now, I might have released the now the video game. The first video was on the 28th of February. So I consider the first post on my website that was and then the Beastcast that was my entry into being a well, how would you call that? A Well, YouTube and podcaster and like I would call it like a blogger, I guess, a content creator on the internet, other than just a somebody who just watches. He's now starting to do stuff, and of course the third post is the first D&D nights, and yeah, I need to post more of those because it has been a while that those were made. So, and I will. The point is that we have come a long way. When we're talking about the role-playing sessions, as I said many times before, they will come out. And I know. Alex Wingle has said it a lot. I need to get the title cards done, and it's been a running gag at this point, but they will come out. I have released the 15th episode of the main campaign, and I will be releasing the other episodes of the other campaigns. And I might just upload it with a random Google image and just be done with it. We'll see. It's a thing that we'll have to see for now. It's something that I'm still thinking about, and maybe I shouldn't overthink it. The point is that I love how the second podcast. I just use like random like fantasy related images for my D&D sessions, and then for the po second podcast, I just put in also one random one, and it's like a Boris Vallejo illustration, and it's still like wow, like this is something. It's been a while, hasn't it? Like. It's over 3 years, man. I mean, I'm not saying that this is like super long for some people have been much longer on the internet as like a producer, so to speak, because I've been following, of course, the internet and internet shit, like nerdy shit, since ever there has been an internet, pretty much, at least since I had internet like regularly, which hasn't been that long. Well, has been since, I would say, 2005. We had internet the first time. I think like 1998, 1999, maybe the earliest 1997. I think 1998 was because then we had dial-up, because my mom didn't want to do like a monthly thing yet. But it was a very different time. It was a very different time for the internet in general. Like I remember we just got them much later than a lot of people. Well, a lot of people didn't have internet back in the day, and man, has the time changed? But I'm going way too far back. Let's go back to the year 2011, and yeah, mostly it was D&D nights, which I really need to get back again. And man, the images do not correlate really. They're most of the times. And but still, it's been a great time, I think. Man, the Beast Bar, that failed attempt. That was a little cartoon thing I did. But I used like this animation tool, which it wasn't really good. It sucked, but it was something, you know. Oh yeah, Beastcast 3, talking about Lex. Man, that was like I remember when a big fan, one of my probably my first fan ever who wrote other than the people from my group, you know, obviously. And I do count them also as fans because they do also enjoy my stuff and they've supported me over the years. But this was somebody that I met through the Beastcast specifically and through my videos, you know, like, and that was fellow YouTuber Tomcat X, you know, and he does toy reviews. He hasn't done one in a while, but you know, who knows what will happen in the future. His videos are still up to Tomcat X. Check it out. He's a pretty cool dude. If you like old school toys, you know, he's big into that and other stuff too, like comics and video games and whatever. And yeah, he told in one of my videos that, you know, it's really awesome. You rock and you like Lex and stuff. And for me, in the early time days of the Gaming Beast and all this project, it really felt good when somebody wrote anything to me. And if somebody wrote something positive, it made my day back in the day, you know, because that's when I had very few subscribers and most of them were people I know. And not that I have like an infinite amount of subscribers now. Don't get me wrong. I'm thankful for all the 240 subscribers I have now, and I'm enjoying it. That and it has grown, you know, and I'm happy for that. You know, it's like it's not really about the subscriber number anymore. Maybe it was one point. Maybe it was at one point where I believed that I could be the next big internet guy who talks about nerdy shit and makes it his job. There was a very short period in the very beginning where I truly believed that, you know, I could be dead. And who knows, it might still happen, but it's not something, it's not my goal. I'm here to have fun, and I'm here to have fun with you guys. And it's been a blast. It's been a blast talking about nerdy shit that a lot of times I cannot talk with people in my real life situations because they don't really know about a lot of these things, or maybe they know about it, but they're not even close to as passionate about a lot of these things, or they just don't care, you know? I mean, where do you get a show where you can fucking ramble on, where you hear two nerds ramble on about fuck for 5 hours about like fucking He-Man or like Zack Snyder's Man of Steel or Game of Thrones or frickin' anything really, you know, video games and GOG and Steam. I mean, it has been a blast so far, and I hope it continues to be. You know, I mean, I'm not going anywhere. You know, I'm still here for another 50 episodes. Hell, another 100 episodes. But who knows? You know, you never know what comes in life. You know, but honestly, I don't want to stop this. I'm really having a good time in the foreseeable future. I don't see myself not doing the Gaming Beast, you know, the Beast Cast, the also including the shows, you know, whatever show it is. But the Beast Cast is going to be a thing that is here to stay, you know. And the reason is it's because of you guys, because of people, you know, like Critical Failure and Tomcat X and Retro Kaiser and Shintai and fucking Jared Terrifying and Sendu, of course, Gexup, Hannu the Hun Mäkinen, There's so many people I met through the show, and of course Death Adder 83 and Alex Swingle, aka Sixth, and of course, what is it, Sixth Health? Alex Swingle, that's whatever. Sixth Health of Fury, there we go. And of course, the one and only Michael Smith, in no particular order. Oh, I hear all of these people. I hold all of these people dear to my heart, and they're good friends in my opinion. Also, T McBee, the guys from It's Tale Time. I always enjoy her comments and her stuff when we discuss stuff in the forums. And I've been just lately being more active on the forums, and I had a blast there too. And all the guys on It's Tale Time, they are great. And of course, Classy Quinn also with the streams. He's just, in the last month's been, but he's been pretty active too, so that's cool. We got all these guys there, and it's a great place to hang out. And I mean, Hanu and me, it's like we had a great time about talking about He-Man. I don't think there's a lot of people even in this circle that are interested in He-Man. Maybe Kaiser. I think maybe Kaiser, to a degree, but I'm pretty sure Hanu and me would be the resident He-Man nerds, so to speak. And hell, it is kind of a guilty pleasure, like in a sense, because. But on the other hand, I don't really care. I'm like I'm a proud nerd, and I'll say it. And I've always well, I haven't always been so, to be honest. I have been, I've been shameful. I've been shameful about my nerddom, about my nerdy hobbies. I did everything a nerd does. Like, I've been like, ostracized. I have been called names. I have been said these things I like are dumb. You know what? That's the thing is that you don't have to care. The thing is, like, if you're confident and you like what you do and you show it to the world, most people will be like, yeah, fine, that's cool. At most people will say, most people, a lot of people, there's a lot of dicks in the world, true, but most people that actually care about you, or especially that care about you, or and a lot of other people, if you show confidence in what you like and you just, like it unabashed, there's nothing they can really say to hurt you, and if they want to say stuff to hurt you, then they're not really your friends, So that's something I learned, and really, at the most part, you just do not give a fuck, Especially, if you have a stable job, you have your own place to live, if you're older. If you're younger, then that might not be something that is right now a thing for you that is important, Then just have a great time, man, because that time goes away too, It's like I'm being a little bit melancholic here and whatever, but this is like a place, when you think about, it has been over 3 years, and what have I accomplished? I think for me personally, I think I've found a lot of great friends, they have introduced me to a lot of new and exciting things. And they still introduce me to new and exciting things. Not everything I get into, like the brony thing, it's not for me. I have no problem with people who like it. I have friends who like it or really into it, but for me, it's just not for me. But there's other things. I really got back into watching Power Rangers for crying out loud. I used to like it a little bit when I was a kid. But I really gotten into it. I love the even how corny it is. Like I've in general been more open to cornier stuff because the world and in general the media has become so dull and so depressing. It's like everybody has always these issues and problems. And it kind of started also where also with the 60s, with Marvel Comics, and also with the movies, and in general, the 60s was a whole time of change, and it continued on and on. But then you had the 80s, which was a very positive age, and a very, in a sense, because I'm not sure, but it was just also a very crazy age. You had all this crazy neon and all this flashing, and maybe it has to do because a lot of people were on cocaine and shit, And that's why they thought dressing up in these weird outfits would be a great thing. But at the time, that's the cool thing. That's the cool story, bro. That's the fashions, the movies, the culture in general. That's what's in. And then it becomes old, and we laugh at it. But there's a lot of people who are nostalgic for it. And at first, it's, like, oh, this is old. We don't like it. And it's like, hell, the 90s has become that. People are talking, oh, that's so 90s. And like, that's my freaking childhood. That's my teen years right there, is the 90s, And I had some really bad times there. That was me being bullied in high school and being, being in fights in high school. It's like physical and also a lot of verbal, but also quite a lot of physical too, It wasn't an easy time, and things like video games and role-playing games and books and comics and all these things have kept me afloat, movies and TV series, like I remember there used to be a ritual of mine. I would come home and I would turn on the TV, and I was often in a bad mood because they would say names and shit, and I would just fucking travel to a fucking other world. And yeah, it's escapism and shit, but sometimes you need this shit to just fucking go another day, And I watched fucking Star Trek: The Next Generation and going to another planet, because that's exactly what I needed, is to go to another planet and fucking do some weird shit and shoot phasers at shit and then have sex with alien chicks or something. I don't know. That's more like the old Star Trek. Although if you look at Riker, he's more a lot like Kirk. But the point is, it was like I used to watch Star Trek: The Next Generation and the freaking MacGyver. Yes, I did watch MacGyver, and I liked it unironically. And I still think it's a cool show. Yes, it's 80s cheese, but who gives a sh it's complete. Most of the scenarios are so like, oh, it just happens. These things just happen to lie around, and he's always got chewing gum in his Swiss Army knife. But it's very cinematic in that sense, where it's not realistic, but it's fun, And it has Terry Hatcher too. Like, I totally forgot that, but she was also a cool character. And in general, it was a cool show, I mean, I used to watch older shows. I used to watch Alf, even Knight Rider. Yes, I loved Knight Rider. Didn't care for Baywatch, other than the chicks, maybe, and obviously Pamela Anderson and those chicks at the time. But I really only watched it because, that thing. But the kid, I always, for me, it was always the car and the cool stuff it did, But that's a whole different story. I'm moving away from the gaming beast again. But you know me, I'm the rambler, as Kaiser says. It's like we have developed lingo, and we have developed a thing here, a mythology, if you will. Not really a mythology, obviously, but who knows? It could be one, if we would want to do something more sketch based. But the point is, I'm rambling here because I'm having, it feels great, to know that I've been around with this podcast for so long, and it feels great that there's people out there in the wide world that have listened to my stuff and have enjoyed it, and interacted with me because of the show and because of other reasons too, and have watched my YouTube videos and we have formed little allegiances. I gotta also mention, of course, the YouTube RPG Brigade. And there's a lot of discussion now about the YouTube RPG Brigade, because it has been now also existing now for at least 2 years or more. And I've been a member of it for a long time, and I'm not as active right now as I want to be, but it's also like where I feel that there is not a lot of there's a lot of things where they discuss what do you do with this situation, what do you, and I love that they do discussions, but I also feel like there's not enough gameplay going on, at least like online gameplay, where people invite other players. People talk about role-playing games a lot, but not a lot of people play. And if they do play, or if they do play, they don't ask other players on the Facebook group to, hey, you want to join this game? It doesn't happen that often. The last game that I was involved in, that I was just joined through the group, was what is it? Matthews, the gentleman gamer, Cthulhu game. And the reason why is because I always heard so many friends of mine talk about Cthulhu, the role-playing game. If you don't know about Cthulhu, it's like this setting that H.P. Lovecraft, writer, he wrote way back in the 20s or something, about like these, in general, these investigators that find out that there's these old gods, so to speak, that are very scary and alien, and how they basically want to take over the world, and they eventually will. And these investigators usually try to stop that, but they usually, they can barely, they cannot stop it. They can at most postpone it. And this thing, it's a horror kind of. It's become a huge genre in itself, the Cthulhu genre, and it hasn't had too much. I don't know if how many like movies and TV series are. I know that there's a lot inspired by, but I don't know how many direct adaptions of the different stories or other stories have made. But there has been a lot of like role-playing games, and especially also the official. There was a the big. The Call of Cthulhu game, and there's a lot of other Call of Cthulhu spin-offs and with different rule sets and shit. And it's very popular because it's a very good setting for like a horror RPG where it's like I'm talking tabletop RPG where your characters are very depowered. You're not big mighty wizards or big warriors or superheroes or action heroes or something. You are just basically normal dudes for the most part, detective scientists and all this stuff. You're not, you don't have all the cool, you don't have n no clue, and when and you have sanity and you can lose your sanity. It's a very dark and twisted world, and I played in that game and I had a great time. But this shit, maybe because I'm not checking the site that often, because I do check it pretty much every day nowadays, but a lot of times I just see a lot of discussion about role-playing games, and some people, I mean, I must give a shout out here to a couple of people. Of course, Alex Swingle, a good friend of mine, Sakura Celeste, of course. I had always a blast talking with her in Google Hangouts, and Matthew Dawkins, the gentleman gamer, has been always cool also. Whenever I didn't talk to him very often, but the times we did interact was cool. Of course, we cannot forget Andrew Martinez and Jennifer Martinez. They have been also very welcoming to the different groups. Also with Simply Gaming International, which is another group I have joined. It kind of is, it's splintered off, but it's kind of like, more, it's all cool, it's like, for me, this is like a little bit of a different, a little bit more of a closer, tight group, And also, of course, Stupid Ass Geekery, that has been started by a good friend of mine, Anthony Holmes. He's been also very supportive and very cool. And yeah, that goes out to you, man, and to all of you. And man, I'm probably missing some people here, but in general. I thank you all. I really do, for all the good times we had, for the RPG sessions, for the crazy drunken Google Hangouts, for the discussions, the hour-long discussions, the podcasts, the videos, the very few streams I did so far, and I thank you guys. It's been a blast. It's been, 50 episodes. I mean, it might not sound too much to other podcasters, but I've seen many podcasts that die after a couple of episodes, maybe one, two, three, maybe even one. I've seen podcasts that have one episode and that's it. And you never know the reason why. Is it too, they're trying something too elaborate? Is it because the people, they get into arguments? There's a lot of reasons, or just real life comes in between what you want to do in your in your nerd life, so to speak. And that's the thing where it's the reason why I started this whole podcast, this whole Gaming Beast thing. One reason, of course, I wanted to also become, like, in a way, there was a short time where I wanted to become, at least that's what I thought, I wanted to become, like, a big, video game YouTuber and shit. But then I realized that, you know, it's like, it's actually really fun to do. And it's really fun to interact with people and talk about all these things that you cannot talk about with other people in real life, because you know, a lot of people will judge you, a lot of people will say something, and you know, it's, you know, most people, we, you know, I don't care about these things, but I won't start a conversation about these things if I know that they're not interested in that topic, you know, if I'm certain of this, you know. And because why should I? I like to talk about a lot of things. I like to do a lot of things, you know. I mean, one of the other things I like to do when I was talking way back when I came home and watched, Star Trek Next Generation, another thing I like to do was Taekwondo and basketball. And that also was a topic that I really got into. There was a time in my life where martial arts was pretty much everything. Bruce Lee, Taekwondo, all this, because like I wasn't never really into like soccer. That was the popular sport in Germany because I lived in Germany, and I grew up literally next to us was a river, and on the other side it's still there, the house is still there and also the river, and there's a soccer field, which is also has two football goals, because that's also where the town where I grew up in, that's where they have actually a football team, because they have actually an actual German football league in Germany. It's not even close. It's like very minor in comparison to what soccer is, but it does exist and it has grown in popularity. They even have something like a Super Bowl here, you know. But it's like in comparison, it's minute, but to what soccer is in comparison, you know. But it exists, and it has existed for a very long time, you know. But so I could have gotten into soccer or football, but I did play it, I did try to play it, but I never was very good at any of them, you know. And but basketball, man, I liked basketball because it was, I don't know, it's like it felt like it was something that I liked to do, and same with Taekwondo. And then there was also always video games. Since a very small child, I loved playing video games, and of course role playing games, because when I was a little kid, I loved play pretend, just pretend shit, you know, all kinds of crazy shit, you know, or even simple shit, you know. And what is role playing games? It's the grown up version of play pretend. Let's be quite honest here, okay? There's a lot of discussion of what is immersion, what is role playing, you know, how can you be a better role player, what is good role playing, what is bad role playing. Let's be quite honest here. Role playing is play pretend for grown ups. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know? Because the thing is, when people get really serious about their hobbies and they said, well, you know, soccer or football, it's a man's game. And really, no, it's a kid's game that has gotten really popular. And because it's popular and more mainstream, people tend to accept more mainstream things more easily. You know, it's the same with themes and genres and things that people have not really gotten a clue about. You know, like I remember when anime was kind of an obscure thing for the most part, other than a couple of shows. I remember, like, in the 80s, there was a couple of shows in Germany that were, you know, anime, but they're not that many, you know. And then once in the 90s, it got more and more. But I remember anime shows that were really weird. Like, I remember one that was Robin Hood, and it was kind of crazy, you know, because of course it was like he did, it was there was some fantasy elements to it, and when he shot with his arrow, it was all super dramatic and anime. It was kind of crazy, and He was also very young. He was like a teenager, I believe, which just also fits very much the shonen anime that was very popular at the time. Of course, there was Sailor Moon. I never got into that. I watched one or two episodes. I never got it. I was like, ugh, this is kind of like Power Rangers for girls, I guess, But I know how it sounds, but I just didn't get it, But there was one I liked that was called Lady Oscar, and it was about it was a fictional character. She was like a in the but it wasn't set in a historical setting in the French Revolution, and she was like a commander that then she joined the rebellion, and it was actually very cool, and this was when I showed that when I saw the first time that anime could be also could do actually more serious and more dark storylines really well, and that was like my earliest memories of anime. Later on, there was other stuff too, but I'm not going to get into that. The point is that anime in general was seen as kind of weird at first, and now it's like super popular, It's like everywhere, where I remember in the 80s it was mostly Western cartoons, and yes, I know a lot of those were animated in Japan too, but I still don't count those as anime because the storylines and the style is more of a Western style. Where if you look at, for example, the movie Last Unicorn, that is definitely drawn in a more anime style, but it is an American production based on an American fantasy novel with American actors that are voice actors in this, of course, because it's a animated movie, animated cartoon movie, and but it was actually pretty cool and pretty, dark and serious, for a movie about unicorns and shit. But it was actually more of the traditional medieval view of unicorns and less of the My Little Pony thing. It was how unicorns really were and what they represented it, although a little bit lighter, I guess, for the most part. But the way how they portrayed mythical creatures in there was more how they actually were in myths and legends, and they were more scary creatures, in general. Although they did omit one thing that was a popular thing, where one of the legends about the unicorn is that only a virgin can see and approach a unicorn, and the unicorn in the myth would test that, is that the unicorn would run towards that person and stab it, and if it would be a virgin, that person was usually a young woman or a young girl. If she was a virgin, then she wouldn't be harmed, because that's how the magic worked. But if the person, I guess it would also count if they were a male, wasn't a virgin, then they would die. And that was kind of this, it was this thing, because we don't have this thinking anymore what the medievals had about, honor and chastity and these things, because a lot of these things were, of course, they were based on Christianity, but also a lot of it was based on the old myths, which are basically the old religions and the old beliefs that have become myths and legends and all these things. So, and I'm again going away and everything. But this is the thing, is that what I want to say with this is that things change. Things change all the time. What has been weird and like not accepted in one decade or in one year becomes the biggest shit the other year, like a couple of years down the road. And nowadays with the internet, it's becoming faster and faster. Since the world is becoming smaller and smaller, we know pretty much, we can know exactly what, and a lot of people are really fascinated what Japanese people listen to, watch to, eat, and all this stuff, and I'm just saying Japan as an example because that's now really hot shit, But theoretically, you can find out pretty much anything about, sadly, anybody, if you really want to. But what I meant is any topic, Like, if you want to find out about, I don't know, a Hungarian recipe, obviously as a Hungarian, I'll reference that. Or, like, I don't know, like what's happening in Ukraine right now, or although that's like more or less all over the news, although I'm not going to get into that. But the point is that now with the age of the internet and this constant flow of information, it does, I'm not going to get into the whole, what is happening with the internet or whatever, but in general, you have still a huge library of information and media and all this stuff available to you. And really, we're at a point where people have to pick and choose what they enjoy, what they watch, what they read, what they listen. And because there is, we have realized that the world is huge and there's so much out there, There is a ton of stuff out there, and I can bring this really back easily to the Beastcast because there's so much out there. Also with just podcasts, for example, if I just look at podcasts, there is thousands of podcasts, and every day there's new podcasts starting. And I don't care if it's just some small, every podcast starts small, I mean, okay, if you're like a guy like Kevin Smith, and Kevin Smith make a podcast, it's a bigger deal, because I'm a Kevin Smith, I'm a king of the nerds. And no offense, I like Kevin Smith, I do like his View Askew movies especially, but still, he's got some issues there. He's a little bit out of touch, but in general, I do like his stuff. Although in recent years, his quality of movies has gone down the hill, but. Clerks is one of my all-time favorite movies. So, Kevin Smith, if you're listening to this, which you are not, most likely, it's highly improbable that he's listening. But if you are, and don't take this the wrong way, I like your stuff. Some of your recent stuff hasn't been that great. And yeah, that's pretty much all I'm going to say about that. What I'm saying is that if a guy like that starts a podcast, of course, he's going to get automatically more listeners because he's already famous, because he's made big Hollywood movies, and people know his name, especially in the nerd community, they know his name. And if you're just pretty much, let's be honest, a nobody on YouTube or anywhere, and you start a podcast, then it's going to start out small, but it can grow. And it can grow to, I mean, we have people now that have podcasts where they start really small and now thousands and millions are listening to them. It's like even Jerry Terrifying's podcast, he's Mondo Coolcast. I really enjoy it because he's always got some crazy story to tell and he's got his listeners and stuff, and he's about to hit 100 episodes, And it's kind of it's the things the way how he does his podcast and everything is really enjoyable, and that's why he's got his fans, And he also started as pretty much, as nobody basically, like most of us, we're just pretty much just normal people, and then you start doing something, and he's been doing podcasts way before me, and then we have, of course, the person that inspired me, who was Critical Failure, and he, it's an interesting story because here's the Gaming Beast story time, but it's an interesting story because the way how I got to know a lot of my recent, friends that I knew online, is through Critical Failure, because I remember when I started watching video game related videos on YouTube, the first one, one of the first one, yes, you guessed it, is of course the AVGN, but that wasn't the very first one. The first one, believe it or not, was a Let's Player. And it was a guy called RP Genie. I don't know if his videos are still up, but he used to do a very in-depth, he used to do a complete Let's Play of all the Might and Magic games. And he did a couple of other ones, and I'm sure he was planning to do a Let's Play of a bunch of other RPGs, but playing through Might and Magic 1 till 9 is like a huge achievement, I think, when it comes to Let's Play, because those games, especially also when you talk the early Might and Magic games, they're quite challenging, and they are, they do not they are very hard, because they do not treat you with kid gloves. That was a very different time in gaming. And but yeah, that's and he also did a lot of other Let's Plays. Also did like co-op ones with like when they play beat 'em up games and stuff like that. But he was the first guy that I ever remember watching as like and how long has his last video he did come back for a short time after a big break. Jesus Christ, his last video was 5 years ago. How does the time go, people? 5 years. And that was his last video, and man, I'm still happy that he has his videos up because I can go back and I can watch his videos as long as YouTube hasn't removed any of them. But it doesn't seem like, Might and Magic is not a series that has been, although recently again with Ubisoft, once New World Computing it went down, it's like it just, how you say, went to bankruptcy. They had it went bankrupt basically, and they basically lost all their IPs, and then Ubisoft, or I think Ubisoft, once they went bankrupt, Ubisoft bought them up. They bought, and with that, they bought all the IPs because they really want to have the Might and Magic brand name to sell their stuff, because they did continue to make Heroes of Might and Magic games and other games with the title Might and Magic, but they did not. It's not set in the original Might and Magic setting. They've made a new generic fantasy setting for Might and Magic, because Might and Magic originally also had a ton of sci-fi elements. Like the worlds were little, were literally like these. Apparently, they were made by astronauts who became gods or something. And there's still a lot of like you can even find a spaceship and like lasers. It was funny because these a lot of the early RPG games, they had sci-fi elements because, like, I don't know, they just obviously the people who made the games were geeks and they felt like, hey, let's put in like spaceships because that's cool. But it's he played a lot of these he played through all of them and he did all of a lot of videos, and he's gone now. It's like if I think about a lot of the channels that I used to watch that are gone now. A lot of them erased all their content or privated their content. Some people left their videos up or some of their videos up. And it's kind of sad because it's not like a TV show where you can buy the DVDs, There's very few people on YouTube and in general on the internet who do videos that actually make DVDs of their content. And usually they're very big and popular. So it's like you'll always be able to find their content. The really the smaller channels, the ones with only a couple of thousand or even a couple of hundred subs, when they erase their channel, it's usually gone for good. If not, unless somebody actually downloads their videos and re-uploads them, and then usually they only will d up download and upload a couple of their, most famous moments. The thing is that there is a lot of content, ton of content, a lot of videos that we will be never able to see, and regardless of the quality of the videos, regardless of they were necessarily good. But if you just think about that before that, we were there was an age where there's still content where. Where we before YouTube, before the internet and that stuff, but especially before YouTube, you had an age where you had, of course, the well, there was the TV age also, of course, you had the TV stuff, and then eventually you had VHS. And at first, series weren't it wasn't really that they wouldn't release entire seasons on VHS because there would be too many VHSs, so they would like only do certain episodes or usually. It was very rare that they would do entire shows because it wouldn't be profitable. It would be too bulky. Once DVDs came out and became popular, then it became the it became cool. Then you had entire shows being released on DVD. But to this day, there's a lot of shows that have been never released on DVD for. Sometimes it's like copyright issues because they used songs in there where the licenses expired. That's one of the issues with what is it? I almost said Stand By Me, but no, it's The Wonder Years, a show that I grew up on. And they finally, in the recent years, were able to get like streaming rights so you can watch it on Netflix. So, but I'm still not sure if they can ever release it on DVD, you know, unless they really change the music and everything, and which would change the show. And I find these kind of legal problems, it's like a lot of it is just greed, because a lot of it is money based, and in the end the consumer loses because a lot of shows don't get released. Some shows don't get released because the people who release the shows or who own the rights, they release, some of these shows only have like a smaller fan base, so they release the DVDs of the first season or the first episodes or whatever, also it's just volumes. And then they don't release the rest because it didn't sell well. And that's kind of the case with Gargoyles. I did hear that you can watch Gargoyles on YouTube now, on one of the Disney channels, officially. So that is cool. Because that show, that's another show I grew up on. And I would really like to revisit that, you know, because that's something I used to watch every Saturday morning. That was like Disney at its finest. Like, and it was also Disney doing something, you know, very different, and it's kind of weird that they never did anything with that IP, you know, and because I'm like, why don't you slap that into Kingdom Hearts? Like, the weird thing with the Disney choices of the worlds, because I always thought they should put in Black Cauldron as one of the worlds, although Black Cauldron was based on a novel, so they would have to get the rights for the novel from the writer, and that might be an issue, but it would be totally worth it, because then you would have a legit sword and sorcery world as part of the Kingdom Hearts multiverse. And I'm a guy who never even played Kingdom Hearts, but I love the idea of multiverses, and I love the idea of Kingdom Hearts being this giant, basically you have these two multiverses of Final Fantasy worlds and Square Enix worlds in general, and Disney worlds, and you have, and maybe they just don't want to put all their stuff in a pot, but I feel like, how much potential is there to put in the Little Mermaid world? And I hear that the level was just kind of a one singing mini game, you know, where I feel like they technically could have done more if they really would have tried to, you know, but it's this kind of this myth that underwater settings are boring, and I think it's just, they're only boring if you just are a bad writer, I think. It's harder to write for underwater settings. I'll give that, you know. But in general, I find that it's also, I've been reading about this in TV Tropes, is that it's a little bit harder because you have different rules because it's underwater, you know. But there's ways around that if you're creative. And there's a lot of things you can do with underwater setting. Now, you cannot do technically everything like you can do with above water settings. But I personally think that, still, the case is that if you're a good writer, underwater settings are cool. You know, like, I for example, enjoyed SeaQuest a lot. And especially the first two seasons. The third season, lost me. Because the second season ended in a way where I think if they wanted to end the show, this is where they should have ended it. Because the third season, Anyway, the point is that, and I've been rambling on for a long time here, but in general, what I want to say is that I feel that the world has changed, and I'm happy also about a lot of the changes, and I'm happy that I can release a podcast where I literally ramble about all kinds of stuff, okay? I mean, Hal Hanu said it was when he was on there as a guest, it was the most randomest show ever that he was on, and he said it as a positive. And I take it as a positive, because I don't want the show, this is my format, this is what I'm comfortable with. After 50 episodes, I feel that I found my niche, I found the way how I make a podcast, you know. And I have show notes right now, but I'm like, whatever, I'm pretty much ignoring them at this point. Because I could talk about the topics and everything that I will talk about them probably in 51. But I'm enjoying more talking about this. So what I want to it's we've been not talking for close to an hour, and I don't want to make this again a fucking 5 hour epic fest because we had that last time. And the thing is that I've rambled on pretty much for long enough. And before I finish, I want to add here one more thing is basically what I wanted to say is that I've been looking back now and I'm moving forward. I'm looking to the future of the Gaming Beast, of the next round, of its tail time, of Mondo Coolcast, you know? And I want to, you know, continue to make great content. I want to continue to entertain you guys. I want to continue to interact with you guys, have great discussions, have a great time, because that's important to me. For me right now, it's all about community building, and having fun and making good content and having a good laugh, you know. And you know, I encourage you to obviously check out my stuff, but also to check out the stuff of the people of the next round, it's Tail Time and Mondo Coolcast. And oh, by the way, Retro Kaiser, of course. When I said I started something with Critical Failure, and I gotta go back on that quick, is that as I said, is this group that I really got involved with, you know, my friends, my online friends, who I also just called the group. Critical Failure, I used to watch because I used to watch, as I said, AVGN and stuff and others and all kind. And then I started watching and looking for other video game related channels, and I found some good. I found the big guys, you know, Happy Video Game Nerd, Happy Console Gamer, and a lot of guys, you know, Game Over Thinker, and all other guys, and a lot of guys that don't even exist anymore, stop making videos. And I find this one channel, this. You know, it doesn't look anything at first point too special. It was Tiger Claw TV. And I was like intrigued. What the hell is Tiger Claw TV? What does that mean? And I started watching it, and what I loved about it wasn't like this overproduced stuff with the skits and where I basically almost didn't get any information about the game. It was like literally it felt always to me like a guy talking to you about games. And then I thought to myself, yes, this is good. This is what I want from a video game related video. And it was done really well, you know. But when I say not overproduced, what I'm saying, it didn't feel like some kind of like super advertisement for chewing gum or Coca-Cola, like or like some it wants to be some big budget TV series but fails flat at it, like with Angry Joe. Like with Angry Joe, his shows are like him making big grimace faces, then dressing up in a costume, doing a little skit, and then complaining about the game and in front of a blue screen. I'm not taking away anything from Angry Joe. I don't personally really like his stuff. I'm not saying he's a bad guy or anything, so don't take it personal. There has been moments, especially in the early days of the guy with the glasses period, the early days. That's when I really got into that website, and that's when I enjoyed his stuff too, because it felt more honest. You know, now it's like he's selling us a product, you know. And with Critical Failure, I loved his total honesty and his don't give a fuck punk attitude, like a true punk attitude, not the punk attitude from Pat the NES Punk, right? I won't get more into that, but yeah, I don't like his stuff either. And then, of course, I started watching his shows, and I really liked it. And I would write a comment here and there, but it didn't really interact, because I never did this before, talk with some random person. The only I have so Before that, I only talked with people over the internet that I knew in real life, usually 99.9% of the time. It was really alien to me to talk to somebody to completely random on the internet for the most part, other than maybe a couple of Not even that. Even the forum RPG I played at one point was with people I knew from college. So, but then there was this one moment where, CF, how we call him, he also started making his podcast. And I said, "What the hell is a podcast?" And I started listening to it. "Oh, it's like radio, but on the internet. And you download it and you can listen it on your time. This is cool." I used to like radio a lot as a kid, but it became very commercialized, and they're just trying to sell you whatever advertisement. It's like, "Oh, this is, we're gonna call up and ask for the latest game show." And it's every fucking radio show, commercial radio show nowadays, for the most part. And I remember way back in Hungary, I used to like to listen to college radio. And real college radio made by college dudes that I remember. There's this one show called Phantasmagoria, and that was a show where they would play a bunch of really hardcore metal tracks that are mostly, like Cannibal Corpse and all this stuff. And that's when I really got into also more into metal. And I was already more into metal, and I actually called them up, and because they said, "Here's the number, you can call us up," and you got through right away. That never happens on a big station or radio. Like, you have to wait and you have a chance to get through and whatever. But on the freaking college radio, I got through, and and we talked for a long time. And maybe that's kind of the proto Beastcast was there, because I recorded that, on a cassette. Yes, it's been that long ago. Although that was in the, I think, it was in the early 2000s, late 90s. It was some, I think maybe 2003, maybe, or earlier. But I recorded on a cassette, and it was a fun time. We talked about metal, and we talked about all kinds of stuff, and they were really into it. Like, I didn't feel like I'm just some plebeian that is like trying to get into the great show of the great master kings and whatever. And that's when I listened to Critical Failure, and in his and then suddenly I heard names like Retro Kaiser and Gooch in a Douchebag, Hemrock, Shintai, Jerry Terrifying. Who are these people? What? Retro Kaiser has a podcast too. Jerry Terrifying has a podcast too. Who's this Shintai fella? And that's when I really started getting in, I started listening to their podcasts too, and of course Kaiser. I mean, the one and only Kaiser. I mean, I cannot thank Kaiser enough for all the help, and he inspired me also a lot with, in general, with podcasting, and also with other things, gaming related things, and he helped me a lot also with my channel, and he's been a good friend. And it's really bad that his internet, he's got issues with his internet right now, but I hope he'll come back soon, and we'll have good times on the internets. And so yeah, and that was the CatCast, of course. And I was really sad when the CatCast ended, and he was sad too. But now we have the Kaiser Cast, so all is good. All is good. And of course, Jerry Terrifying continued to show. And I think I got a little bit. I tried to add in little things from all of these shows, but eventually it, I just followed my own style, So, and sorry, that's just, I got distracted by Facebook. I have that open. But what I want to say in all this then, that there was this point then CF pointed, he had forums, and there was a time where we were really active on the forums, and that's when I started my first steps with talking people there on the forums, CF and Kaiser. And I think I remember the first text I wrote was because CF announced that he wanted to do a D&D game over Skype with a online dice roller, and that is how the Tarl Igot campaign started. Okay, guys, and I will release all the rest of the episodes, and I'll promise you that it's gonna be released, and in a fast-paced fashion. It's going to be like pretty much an episode a day, or even multiple episodes, so you can listen to those episodes. But the point is, what I'm saying is that He basically said at one point, he always gave us updates, and I wrote, yes, I really would like to play, and then I put in a character. And then he said at one point that he wouldn't be available to DM because he could maybe play, but DMing would be, it would be at this point too much for him. So I offered to DM, and that is how the game started, and that's how we got together for the first time and talked over voice. I think the first time we talked over voice with the people, with the good friends of mine, was over Steam voice chat. And the first person I heard was actually Sandy, so that was quite an experience. And because the Steam voice chat system sucks and still sucks, that's one thing that Steam has not really figured out. They are no Skype, there are no Mumble, so. And then, of course, for a long time we used Skype, and then we switched to Mumble. But still, those early days, they were a great time, and they were a great time of magic, of awesomeness, of hilarity, of awesomeness. I mean, it's like I really felt like that. I really feel that I belong somewhere now, and I didn't have that feeling all the time, even in college. Like there was, I had good friends. Of course, Lucifer's lawyer, who was my college roommate. He basically, we used to, hang out. We used to go to the dorm, talk to chicks and whatever, college stuff, and we had a good time, and I had my real life friends, but it felt very liberating. Like I remember, I think the first time I talked to Kaiser, he went right away to video chat, and it was hilarious because I got my introduction to Kaiser 110% if I wanted it or not, and I liked it. I loved it. He was a crazy guy, and he's a good guy with a big heart, and he jokes a lot, but he can be very serious too, and he's there for his friends all the time. And I want to thank everybody again, everybody who I mentioned now that you've been listening to the. It's funny because I wrote down a bunch of topics that I probably want to talk about in the next Beastcast, but. And I completely ignored them because I had such a cool time reminiscing about what has been happening, what has happened in the last over 3 years now. I mean, a little bit more and it's going to be 5 years. I mean, it's crazy. It's like life, the clock is ticking and everything. And it's sometimes you got to look back, but then you got to look forward, Yeah, man. Again, I want to thank everybody, all the people who listened to the show, everybody who wrote comments, even if they're negative ones. I don't care because that helps the show too. That helps everything, And I enjoy interacting with people like that on the internet, and I enjoy because we have a real community here, and that is something valuable that we should cherish and continue to put in effort in, So I think I said all what I wanted to say. There's one more thing I want to add. I want to say that kind of like in a celebration to the Gaming Beast and also kind of a thing looking back, I want to make the first Q&A about the Gaming Beast, and I'll put a link in the description. Now the Q&A will be held in the It's Tale Time forums, and because there's a lot of people, it's a very active forum base. But if you're not, if you don't want to log in as It's Tale in It's Tale Time, if you don't want to register, you should register. It's a cool place. Well, you shouldn't do anything you don't want. What I'm saying is, it's a cool place, and I recommend that you register in the It's Tale Time forums. But what I want to say is that I'm holding it there because it's kind of easy to do, and there's a lot of people there. It's a very active forum base, and most of the people that I hang out with are already there. And I might do the Q&A on the we don't have a forum for the next round yet, but I might do it on my forums too, just in case. But either way, if you guys want to know anything about the Gaming Beast, if you have a question about the Gaming Beast, about me, and about the show, about things that I like, things that I dislike, who would win in a fight, all this random stuff, requests, questions, comments, it should be questions, Q&A, and I will answer them on one of the next episodes. I don't know if it's going to be 51, because I probably want to leave that up there for a while to gather some questions, but we'll see. We'll see. And yeah, that's all I want to say right now, fellow Beastians, and I want to thank you again, all of you, for listening and supporting me and being the great people, the great fans that you are, and the great fellow Beastians, really, because we're all fellow Beastians here. And I just want to say thank you, and for the Death Mug of Doom.